This is the SB Live Washington podcast, a weekly conversation about high school sports across the Evergreen State. I'm Andy Bueller, statewide preps reporter, and joining me, as usual, he's senior reporter. He's your pal and mine. He's Todd Millis. Todd, how are we doing today?
I'm nobody's pal, man. It's the middle of the summer, man. Everybody's out camping and canoeing and playing golf. They don't need me to. I don't need to hear my old voice on a podcast, but here we are.
Well, I certainly do. Coming up, though, a voice I'm more excited to hear from is former Wenatchee quarterback Camden Sermon, who's moved to Montana in hopes to play a fall season and get off that kind of D2, D1 recruiting bubble that he finds himself on. So he's at Sentinel High School now in Missoula, and they've been practicing under COVID guidelines. He gives a great insight into what football will look like here in Washington when it returns. And he's kind of the first test case, a guy that we're looking at, first kind of high profile guy coming back this year who is looking to have a really strong season for a Wenatchee team that should have brought back a lot. So I talked to Camden for a few minutes and he gave some great insights. But first, the SB Live Washington top 100 football players to watch entering the 2021 spring season. It's up on the site, scorebooklive.com/Washington. It's something that we started last summer and we hope to do every summer. So this is our second installment of, 100 players to watch. We didn't rank them. We talked to coaches throughout the state across all classifications, across all leagues. And this is, not a recruiting list. As we've made very clear in this post, this is a who are going to be the most impactful players in this next high school football season. Todd, before we get to our interview with Camden, who are a couple of guys that you're really looking forward to seeing this upcoming high school season?
Yeah, and again, I'm glad you emphasized this is not a all-star recruiting list. This is an all-state list, and I know you and I really, really made a concerted effort to involve all pockets of the state on this list. I want to emphasize that as well, but maybe not necessarily a name, but a position group that really intrigues me. And I think there's a lot of potential in this position group at the end of this upcoming season. And we'll be talking about some really good football players that maybe they've gotten lost, or it's a young group. It's a combination of guys that I think will be big time D1 recruits, but guys I also think will step forward and maybe be top 20, top 30 players when we do rank them in the postseason list. And this is the group of defensive backs. I mean, there are some seriously good talent in this class of our top 100. But some names that I think are going to really step forward this year: Kendon Alexander at Seattle Prep, cornerback. Turner Allen at Tumwater. Kind of flies under the radar with all those great defensive linemen, but he's going to be featured also as a running back, but he's a really good defensive back. Tegan Child, kind of a do-everything for Auburn Mountain View. Jalen Church. Kieran Collins is a guy that we've heard a lot about from Kennedy Catholic, a real shutdown cornerback. You know how that is with cornerbacks, Andy. Sometimes the stats don't bear all that stuff out. When you don't have any interceptions, it usually means nobody's throwing at you. Tristan Dunn from Sumner, a name that we've heard a lot about. Leroy Jackson at Eastlake, another cornerback. Over on Eastern Washington, J.J. Gelsing, Daniel McKiernan. I like those two guys a lot. And then some guys up in Seattle, Hayden McDonald at O'Day. We've talked a lot about him, really poised to kind of be the leader of that group. And then two young guys that I really like, or actually one guy that's already committed, Jatavius McGee at Federal Way. And then Kiki McQueen is a guy that was on our list last year. Spanaway Lake had a 500 year. There's a lot of talk about Kiki's upside. They have a few good young players on that team, and it'll be interesting to see if he takes that next step as well.
Yeah, I like those names you mentioned. We've certainly some guys that we've had on our radar going back more than a year, and some new faces. And I'm going to take a look. I you kind of had a little bit of a theme in the players that you just mentioned, and I have one too. I really looked at leadership, guys that coaches say, hey, you know, bar none, this guy is a fantastic leader. And it starts with a guy who I'm actually going out to see the way that he leads firsthand. By the time that this episode comes out, I will have already gone. And that's Jake Blair of Camas. He's a quarterback. He's everything you want in a leader. I covered the first game of his varsity career. He came in as a backup early in a game at Lincoln of Tacoma. He led Camas back more than 3 touchdowns in an effort that came up short in the very last second, thanks to a guy named Julian Simon, who you and I both know. Jake, over the past couple of years, has really last season saw his season come up short. He broke his collarbone in a game against Skyview. It was a crosstown rivalry. Camas, of course, as we know, went on behind a dominant offensive and defensive line to win the 4A state championship last year. And one of the great storylines out of that is that they did so. They made that playoff run with a really solid backup quarterback in Blake Asciutto. And part of the reason is because, you know, Jake Blair, a guy who, you know, projects as, you know, a Division I quarterback, he went down. And, you know, he spent the latter half of the season hurt on the sidelines, really trying to, obviously devastated that he wasn't able to play, but formulating a role beyond the field, a leadership role. That part of his contribution to the Papermakers team didn't stop. And this summer, John Eagle, head coach at Cam, has told me, he goes, you know, amid COVID and everything that's going on, obviously schools can't be using their facilities. Blair has organized workouts with different position groups, mainly an offensive line with a lot of new faces, a lot of new starters, at his own house. He's got a workout plan set up. He's got the equipment, and he brings guys through. And Eagle, you know, in a time when coaches can't really, you know, be doing a whole lot, is saying, I don't need to be. This guy is really taking the charge. And that's everything you want out of somebody who's coming in and trying to build a relationship and build a great chemistry with his offensive line. The next guy I want to talk about is somebody who is a good wrestler and might not necessarily jump off the chart from a physical build standpoint, but his name is Cooper Meath. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. Sorry to Cooper and his brother and the folks at Mount Spokane. Cooper is a linebacker and a leader on last year's Mount Spokane team that made the 3A state semifinals, state quarterfinals, I should say, and held O'Day to a season low 10 points. Now they lost 10-3 to the O'Day Fighting Irish, but really impressive defensive performance out of Mount Spokane in that game. O'Day obviously likes to slow things down, and head coach Terry Clore at Mount Spokane, you know, he says that Coop's really aggressive downhill. You know, he tackles a lot. He's understands the game at a really high level. And he's a guy that speaks in front of the team. He's somebody that players just kind of gravitate towards. So not necessarily a flashy, you know, high major recruit that'll jump out and get a ton of publicity on the recruiting list, but somebody who no doubt is going to be really relied upon in a Mount Spokane team that's looking to reload. The third guy, and you might notice a trend here with my first pick, but he missed 5 weeks of his junior season last year recovering from ACL surgery, and he returned in a big way. That's Cole Nora at Mount Si. He's somebody that's under-recruited, you know, but he really helps provide a spark out of the backfield, also on defense, and he's really going to be looked upon as – somebody that teammates really like to play with, somebody that coaches really laud as a great leader, somebody that works really hard, and he's going to be, you know, a big piece of a Mount Si team that brings back a lot of talent from that team last year, led by Clay Millen, a quarterback that made that run to the 4A state semifinals with a young team. So those are the three guys that really have stuck out to me that I'm looking forward to see play. Obviously, you know, everyone on that list is on there for a reason. And there's a lot of guys that we didn't mention that we're excited to see play as well. So Todd, anything you're working on that you're excited about right now?
I mean, I think there's some things that we're looking at sort of in the near future, along the football side. We talked about it's. You mentioned Jake Blair, and it's interesting because I think right now, if you look at the state, we have a clear tier of quarterbacks. It's two guys. Why would I do that? Why don't I just go through all his uncles and his dads too? No, Sam Heward. I almost mentioned Luke, which is his uncle, and Clay Millen. I don't think anybody's going to dispute that. It's going to be interesting to see who kind of takes, who either chooses to sort of maybe join those two in that first tier, or who sort of takes a hold of that second tier. And you mentioned a guy that I think most people would say is probably the leader in the clubhouse, is the leader of that second tier. But it's going to be interesting. And we had 16 quarterbacks highlighted on this list. There was a few names that could have made this list if it was 110, 110 out of top 100. A Holcomb at Puyallup or a Visperez at Bethel. Two guys that sort of jump out of my head. But I'm excited about the balance of this top 100. But it'll be interesting to see as the season goes, and now that Sam and Clay have both committed to playing their senior seasons, how that plays out. Because a lot of people don't remember, that was Clay's debut season last year. Sam's been at it for 3 years. It's going to be very interesting to see how both of these guys perform as seniors and how they how that order stays. Because right now I think most people consider not only the best quarterback in the state, but, in terms of pro-style quarterback, as good as there is in the country, can Clay close that gap? And then what happens behind those two guys? It's going to be interesting to see how that all shuffles during the season. And that's something that we'll explore here over the next few weeks as we get closer to the season as well.
Absolutely. And you mentioned that Clay Millen made his first varsity start last year after backing up his brother, Cale Millen, who's now at Oregon. His first varsity start game came against guess who, Todd? Put you on the spot.
Skyview?
No, that was the second. I think that was week two or three. But okay. They played Wenatchee to open things up last year on the road. The guy that we're going to hear from next, Camden Sermon, sure has a good story to tell, and is one of these quarterbacks that we would be talking about had he stayed in state. We're going to take a quick break. Before we do, we talk about this every week. Usually one of the voices you hear and look forward to hearing on this podcast is none other than Dan Dickow. He's an analyst at SB Live Washington. He is an analyst, college basketball analyst on TV, on the radio. Of course, a former Zag, former NBA player. He's also the host of the ISO with Dan Dickow, presented by SB Live Sports and the Believe Podcast Network. That podcast publishes Mondays and Thursdays. It's something that I look forward to listening to twice a week, not only because Dan does such a great job facilitating those interviews, but the guests he brings on have just been second to none. And this week, he's got Gonzaga assistant coach Roger Powell Jr. That episode is already published. And Thursday, Grand Canyon head basketball coach Bryce Drew. So, and a lot more that have already been recorded that we're really excited to share with you. So we couldn't hear Dan this week on the Washington podcast, but you can hear him on the ISO with Dan Dickow. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, as well as this podcast as well. Are you subscribed to the ISO, Todd?
Of course. Why wouldn't I?
At midnight, Mondays and Thursdays, you're going on and you can't wait.
Well, since you edit them all, I get the nutgrass scoop on each of the podcasts, and it just sort of whets the appetite.
There you go. So subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to the ISO, as well as this podcast, the SB Live Washington podcast. We're going to take a quick break, hear a word from our sponsor, and when we return, former Wenatchee quarterback Camden Sermon. This podcast is brought to you by Washington Federal. Washington Federal is a local bank and portfolio lender with more than 200 branches across 8 states, more than 32,000 fee-free ATMs, 24/7 online and mobile banking with drive-up ATMs, The Washington Federal is a proud sponsor of Scorebook Live. They care deeply about high school sports and the communities that support them across the entire state of Washington. Head to WFDBank.com to learn how they can help you meet your financial goals. That's WAFDBank.com. Washington Federal, a neighbor you can count on. We hope everybody's staying safe and healthy. We're just as excited for high school sports to return as you are. Welcome back to the SB Live Washington podcast. We return with a special guest who I'm really excited to introduce. He was a first-team All-Big Nine quarterback as a junior, threw for around 1,900 yards, rushed for 400 more, and accounted for 25 total touchdowns at Wenatchee before moving to Missoula, Montana's Sentinel High School for his senior year due to COVID-19-related concerns. He's Camden Sermon. Camden, how are you doing, and what's life like in Missoula right now?
I'm doing good. Life is awesome in Missoula so far. We've just kind of been we did some summer lifting and here in Missoula, and then last week we had our first padded week of practice, and then we have 2 weeks off, and then we'll be starting our fall camp for our game starting on the 28th. So pretty excited about it.
It's fascinating to hear you say that and talk about, you know, putting pads on, because everybody in Washington is pretty much sidelined right now. I want to talk to you a little bit about that more in a second, but just overall, so with about 2 weeks ago in Washington, we learned that the high school football season, due to the state's response to the coronavirus pandemic, is going to be moved into March. That took the fall season away. You had kind of been in a flux position waiting for that news to drop. What led you to make the jump and decide, you know, this is a viable option to move to a state where high school football is set to go on schedule?
Well, the whole process started kind of in May, I believe. We kind of made the initial contact. My brother played for the Montana Grizzlies, so he was here. And he had worked with the Sentinel High School track coach for his pro day stuff, and got in contact with him, said my brother is interested in transferring because there's been some rumors about Washington, you know, probably not having a season. So we kind of made the initial contact in May, and then there in June sometime, it kind of got a little bit better. You know, things were looking hopeful. So we kind of stopped contacting, and then somewhere around the beginning of July, it started kind of tanking again. So that's when we kind of officially started the process of, okay, I'm going to go over there. Well, I believe I left like just before the 4th of July to kind of go over there and meet the guys. The ultimate kind of deal breaker was, we were running out of time because I have to go learn an offense here, build relationships here, earn the respect of my teammates here, and then on top of that, win a starting job. That's kind of a non-negotiable, has to happen. So there was this fine line of, when does it get too late? And so that was a thing we had discussed internally as a family, and eventually it kind of got just too close to that boundary, and we had to make the move because it just wasn't looking promising enough here. And from what we had heard, Montana was planning on going.
What this boils down to, in your case, is being stuck in a kind of a no man's land in recruiting, where this was supposed to be a really big summer for you. Summer full of camps, you know, traveling outside of the state, getting in front of coaches, and really showcasing all the work you had put in since last fall season. With that being taken away, you know, how from a recruiting standpoint, where are you at now, and what are you hoping to prove to coaches this fall?
Well, like you said, the camps were massive. I've heard from many. My whole dream is the Division I. As playing in the Big Sky would be awesome, and I've heard from a couple of them that my time, they wanted to see me, and, you know, that was a big deal, was camps. And then obviously all those got anything evaluation-wise from back in April when they could have come through the high school, the camps, whatever, all that got shut down with all the dead periods. So that shifted all the importance to the fall season. And that was before – they said that before, you know, Washington even thought about, you know, moving it to the spring. So, and then obviously with the signing days as well, they're not moving. So it was kind of a, well, what do I do now? There's so much uncertainty. I want to be in a position where at least I can control a little bit. So when we moved to Montana, that that allowed me to have the fall season, and that's going to be very important. I hope to accomplish just, you know, have a pretty stellar season and win a state championship here and prove to the people that have any doubts that I'm your guy. That'd be the ultimate goal. Right now, I'm a bubble kid, I would say. They're kind of just waiting on me. You know, maybe somebody makes a move and then that opens the floodgates. I don't know, but just kind of waiting.
So all this work you've put in for this fall, you've been told, and really it's been driven home to you, the importance of having fall film. Where did you hear that from in your recruiting process? And why is it so important that, you know, where you're at, that playing this fall is crucial?
Well, I heard it directly from the source. It was straight from a couple of Big Sky, you know, coaches in throughout the Big Sky. It was originally it was camps, and then with those gone, it was all leaned onto the fall. And then obviously we don't have a fall season in Washington, so I had to go to a place that does have a fall, and that was here. So that's it, really. I mean, I heard it directly from the source, and so that's pretty. I have to say that's pretty accurate. So I'm glad I'm here.
How did you and your family make it work? I think, you know, people hear about players moving out of state. One of the state's best basketball players in the class of 2021, Nolan Hickman, is headed to a prep school for his senior year with the same concerns. But logistically, it takes a really big buy-in from your family, and it sounds like you've had a tremendous amount of support. How did you guys make that work logistically, and then from an eligibility standpoint as well?
It's been really tough. Originally, it was just one parent had to come, and then I think Montana's board however they decide this, the eligibility board or however, they decided, okay, now we have to change that, and now your whole family unit has to come. So it kind of got more strict because I think they foresaw people coming. So now my whole family has to move over here and have an address in the Sentinel school district that had to be there, because if I moved into like the other two high schools are Big Sky and Hellgate, so if I moved into either one of those, I would have had to have sit out 90 days. So I had to move into their school boundaries. That was one of the rules, and then my whole family unit came. But logistically, it was tough. I mean, just like anything, but I was fortunate enough to have two of my siblings be in Missoula already, so I could kind of make that bridge to Missoula without my parents. My parents stayed back for a little bit. They had to wrap some stuff up, and my mom had to figure out what she was going to do with her job. Thankfully, her company is allowing her to kind of, they're going to go back and forth a little bit, I think, if they're needed to. But she's able to kind of work remotely, I believe. So that'll be nice. So logistically, it was hard. But again, I'm the youngest child, and my other two siblings are here. So my parents being super supportive of my situation, and they want me to fulfill my goal and dream. So they were more than happy to make this work somehow. And I was very thankful for that. I know a lot of kids can't. One of my buddies was pretty worried about it as well, and he was going to maybe try and do it. He committed Air Force, JJ. He committed Air Force, so he's pretty set that way. But he was thinking about doing it, but his family just couldn't. He's the oldest, and they work for the school district, and that would be a life-changing move. So I'm really happy and fortunate for the opportunity to be able to do this, and not everybody can, which is, like I said, just I'm very fortunate.
First time you strapped on pads a couple weeks ago, what did that feel like? Had to have been a long time since that had happened.
Yeah, it was very refreshing. Usually in a normal situation, a normal year, you put pads on and it's 100 degrees out and you're complaining, but I didn't hear Pete. I mean, I think everybody was pretty happy just to be somewhat hitting each. It was half rack, so we didn't have any knee pads or anything on, so we couldn't tackle, but we were popping a little bit. And so I think everybody was super happy about it and super excited that we're moving in the right direction.
So the National Federation for High School Athletic Associations issued a return to play guidance for every state, association, and each state has kind of released its own tailoring, kind of telling schools, here's a step-by-step of what it's going to look like at each sport once we are able to return from this pandemic, and once guidelines have relaxed enough. What has that looked like these last couple weeks for you? What has practice looked like?
It's interesting. We have our team, our group, and our pods. And what that means is our team is varsity and JV. There's no intersection between the two, which would usually you'd have varsity, you know, varsity O, JVD kind of for scout stuff, but that can't happen. So our varsity sideline is on one side and the JV sideline is on the other. And you have your, you know, varsity O, and then you have your best available defense. And you kind of have to work with within your varsity team only. Groups are your offense and defense. So if you're in your offense, you're in your offensive group, and your defense is your defensive group. And then you have pods. So when we're all standing on the sideline, we have to be in groups. So our position groups specifically. So receivers are together. Offensive linemen are together. Quarterbacks and running backs are together. And we all have to be spread out. But as long as we're under, like, I think it's a group of 10 or something like that, we're fine that way. And then the whole reason they do that is the contact tracing stuff. So if they say, well, John got sick with COVID, here's the roster he always is in. There's no way he contacted a JV player. And then they can't, they can, you know, quarantine that group instead of the entire team.
Mm-hmm. Are you practicing in masks?
We have to be with, if we're, when we walk in, when we meet indoors, we're all in masks. Then we get outside and we're not anymore. But we have to immediately go into our team. We have to stay with that same group of people always.
How's it been? I mean, what's your experience been, you know, playing? You're obviously adjusting to a new environment, but under these guidelines, what's this new normal like?
It's pretty, not too much different, really. I mean, you'd be surprised if you were to film a practice last year and film a practice this year, you probably wouldn't see a lot of difference right away. Obviously, there's hand sanitizer on the water station and stuff like that, but that's another thing. We have to, when we go to water, we all have to sanitize and stuff. But there's not a whole lot of difference because you're all kind of talking and stuff. But the only difference I would say would be 6 feet apart. You're kind of always a little bit further apart. But I think a lot of times in practice, people like to be further away anyway because they like to be in their own space a little bit on the sideline. But yeah.
Do you plan to, is the door open to return at all to Wenatchee this spring? I mean, the Washington season, if all goes well, will happen in March.
I've actually kind of thought about this quite a bit, but I've heard that I can't. And if because of the, if the athletic director deems it was only for sports or something like that, they can sit me out. The WIA has kind of talked about it a little bit. I saw an interview with my name in it and they were talking about it, but the whole thing is if I have an address there and I'm paying bills there or my family's paying bills there and my whole family moves back, meaning my mom and dad and me, because my brother and sister are out, I'm eligible to play, I believe. I mean, I think that's the rule. Even if I was, you know, living in Montana for all my life and moved there, I think that's the rule. So I think I am eligible to come back. Now that decision will be kind of be made down the road.
Is that something you're open to?
I'd be open to it. As of right now, I'm not planning on it. I've just started life here and I'm not really going to think about that or make any decisions, but I wouldn't be against it. It just kind of depends how a couple things roll. I'd like to ultimately sign in December. I'd love to be able to be in that situation, but if I'm not, I mean, I don't know. We'll see when that comes.
Sure. So when you guys start back up here, I think you have a couple weeks off. Is that right?
Yeah, we start August 14th. So we finished practice last Friday and now we're kind of just off for 2 weeks and then we'll start back up.
So you've done all this work to put yourself in a position to just be allowed to compete and allowed to showcase, you know, what you've got and the improvements you've made from last year to this year. Where do you feel you've made the biggest jump, and how are you approaching this, you know, quarterback battle that you have to go out and still win a spot, like you said?
Yeah. I think the biggest improvement would just be obviously maturity, and you're a lot stronger. I can make throws, you know, more comfortably, almost any of them, I think now. And then mentally as well. The game is so much slower. As between the first snap I took sophomore year as a starter at Mount Si, it was like a million miles an hour. And now it's like normal. It's very slow now. But I would say, like, coming into this battle, I'm just being me. Obviously there's going to be some nastiness down the road, 'cause I mean, that is what it is. It's a quarterback competition, and the kid started last year and there's a transfer coming in. I mean, it sucks senior year. I feel for him that way, but, at the same time, I'm just going to compete and stay positive. I think that's the biggest deal, is that talking crap behind the dude's back isn't going to help anything. So, I'm just going to stay positive and just kind of do my best and be me. And if that's what the coach decides is going to be best for the team, then that's what it is.
Well, it sounds like Sentinel's a school with a lot of football tradition, and you know, I wish you the best of luck going forward. I know there's certainly going to be a lot of eyes as everybody's sitting around this fall, wishing that we were playing football. So, I hope you, your family, everybody is staying safe with this pandemic going on. And Camden, I really appreciate you coming on the podcast to talk today.
Of course, yeah. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the SB Live Washington podcast. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to head to scorebooklive.com/Washington, your number one source for Washington High School sports news. For SB Live Sports and SB Live Washington, I'm Andy Bueller. We'll be back next week. We'll be right back.